Okay, hey, what's up, Matt?
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Matt, I wish that we would have been recording a couple minutes ago because we were just talking about Clubhouse and how, like, Josh was saying that, dude, you got addicted to it. Like, I literally met some of my best friends on Clubhouse, like, still to this day. But tell us who you met on Clubhouse and who's one of your friends.
Yeah, I met a couple people. One guy that I actually still keep in touch with, his name's Justin, and he's a physical therapist, and he teaches a lot of breath work. But I was just saying, I met Chase Tucker, who was a Peloton instructor.
Okay. The premise of Clubhouse, if people don't know, it was basically like a chat room that was like an app on your phone. It had a really cool premise, but then it got really bogged down with fucking, you'd go into a chat room and then everybody would raise their hand, or people would be passive listeners. And Matt and I were just saying that, like, him and I would be the ones where we'd go into the room and like raise our hands.
I want to talk.
We wanted to talk.
I feel like it was almost like a live podcast all the time. Just like
it literally
kind
was.
Of with a panel, and it just kept like an ongoing panel of people.
And the cool thing about it was that there's like some big names. Mm-hmm. Like there's this woman, her name's Laura Belgray, and she's a really, really giant copywriter. Like she writes copy for literally everybody. And I invited her to have like a room with me, and she said yes. Like she did a room with me and Laura Belgray, like in the copywriter space. Like that is huge. And so it's like a really cool spot to like be able to connect and meet with people that you never would.
Yeah.
Like on Instagram or Facebook.
For sure.
Like you'd never be able to.
I kind of think that's partly how I got connected to Corey with Forever Athlete, actually.
Was Clubhouse?
I don't know if I met him there, but it was like somebody that I met in there knew Corey, and then we connected. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was from Clubhouse.
Yeah. That's so
we did a room on
sweet.
Like athletes and mental health. And yeah, so anyway, crazy. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so fun. Okay, so if anybody doesn't know Matt has become a good friend of mine. He lives here in Minnesota. He lives in Southern Minnesota a little bit, which I'm still intrigued by him living in like a suburb of the city. But if anybody knows Matt, like I literally call him the mayor of Minneapolis because everybody knows Matt, like every freaking person. If you're listening to this podcast and you live in Minneapolis and you're like, I don't know Matt, well, you're about to learn.
See, I feel like that's a suburb thing because I feel like Shakopee is just like part of the Twin Cities. But I've had this conversation with somebody last week. They're like, no, that's like Andy will say, like, you're in northern Iowa.
Yeah, like, literally, like Shakopee, I would go there dressed how I am or have green hair and would be like,
what is
going on? Like, come on, Matt. Like, you are a tall Asian. Tell everybody how tall you are. You're like, what?
I'm 6'4". Six, 6'3¾".
6'4" Asian.
6'4" in the program.
With bleach blonde hair. Yes, he's married with two kids. Okay, moving on. I mean, obviously I have questions prepped and I know Matt, and Matt just ran an event about basically finding your identity outside of titles. And I don't know if that was like what you called it, but that's like what I took from it, is that a lot of times when we are a professional athlete or we go to school, and I talked with Corey about this too on one of my last episodes, is like we go to school after we're an athlete to chase another title. And like that kind of tracks with what you did. Like you were a hockey player and then you're like, oh, I'm going to go to school to be a chiropractor, be a doctor, to chase another title. And then from there, he told me, and what I find is that a lot of people then get lost in their like identity, because then what? Like, what is after that? So I just want you to kind of give my audience and people listening a little bit of a background on like that self-discovery for you, finding yourself after your sport. Tell us what sport you played and kind of like your journey through that.
Yeah, my story is a little different, I guess, because I'm somebody who maybe didn't experience all of those things myself, but just saw them secondhand. Mm-hmm. So
who would you see them secondhand through?
In a lot of teammates and a lot of like my family members, like my brother, my cousin, and different people who I'm super close with. I played hockey my whole life, and my parents will even say, like, you didn't love hockey. Like, they had to kind of force me to skate and to go to the rink. But I just was the guy that was there just, like, so pumped to, like, hang out with my buddies.
Wow. Imagine that. Matt's excited to see people, hang out with people.
Yeah. So yeah. I stuck with it. And I think, like, the difference for me is, like, I never really felt like I was fully invested in being a hockey player. like I loved it. It was a social thing for me, and eventually I ended up doing good enough at the sport to like continue to play. But most of that was through hard work. I was never like a stud on the ice by any means. Mm-hmm. But I did see a lot of, I played at a high enough level where I played with people who were very invested in that label kind of being their defining moment of who they were. And it never really occurred to me until later just how impactful that is. So for example, like one of my really good friends who played, he was always like the best player on our team, and he played at a really high level, just, you know, got injured. And after he got injured, I feel like he was like in his early 20s and just was super lost in like what he was supposed to do next, because he was, you know, at the highest level you can be, playing professional, you know, doing everything that he had set out to do at such a young age. And that was like the pinnacle of his career at such a young age already. And then he was done. Mm-hmm. And then just figuring out like, okay, what the hell am I going to do next? You know? And I think that was a moment where I realized like, man, this guy just like accelerated all the things that a lot of our other friends were about to experience. And a lot of them did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just kind of got to that point where their career was done, and then they had to figure out what was next. Mm-hmm. So
how did you figure out what was next when you had changes in your life, or if things weren't going the way I thought you wanted them to?
Yeah, I kind of feel like being a chiropractor is a little bit of a cheat code, because as you know, and a lot of people that are probably listening to this know, like there's not a ton of programs you can go to in school that have like a defined like, hey, you go to school for this and this is what you are going to do after. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like there wasn't as much opportunity to get lost in that, because like if you go to school and you're a business major, if you go to school and you're a psychology major, like what are you doing after that? What are you doing with that? Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, well, you're going to school, you're going to be a chiropractor. That's what you're doing. But I definitely, there were moments for sure where I felt lost in, after I felt more lost after I was done school and graduated, where I saw our profession and my opportunity to help people in a very different light that I just did not feel good about. And it felt like I had taken the wrong path is what it felt like.
I want to interrupt you really quickly, because I was just having a conversation with somebody about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And that people don't understand what it is to be an online business owner, or when you make content, it's kind of like this eluding, fluffy thing. Mm-hmm. But when you tell somebody that you're going to school to be a chiropractor, they know the step-by-step process. They know that you're going to be grinding it out. They know that you're going to be working hard. They know they're going to be up late. They know you got to take a bunch of tests. They know mm-hmm. you need to get to these hours. Like, it's structured and it's planned and you can follow that. And a lot of people like that mm-hmm. because they feel like out of control in their own life and their own journey, that school is like the path that is like, I know that there's these thousands and hundreds of people before me that have jobs when they took this path. Mm-hmm. But when you choose to be an online entrepreneur, you choose to go online, there's like maybe a couple people that have gone down that path that say, do this way, this could be the way. But oh, by the way, everything also changes and ebbs and flows every 6 months. So good fucking luck. Like, go out and try that. And I think that you're an exception to that, because what you're saying right now as like a human being and as a person, I think mm-hmm. Josh would maybe agree with this too, is like, you like that. Like, you like that living head in the clouds type of vibe. And I feel like you being a chiropractor made you in a box that people crave. They want that consistency. They don't want this, but you want that.
Yeah. It's, as you were talking, I was just having that realization, like, how weird that I went in a path that was super structured and had these laid out steps, when that's like, that to me is just not, that's not fun, that's not fulfilling mm-hmm. for me personally, to have just like such a regimented, laid out plan. I think that I've learned over the last 3 or 4 years how valuable structure is, and I definitely need it in my life.
Especially when you have kids
yeah. for sure. And when you're running a business and different yeah. things, like, there's definitely more room for that in my life than there was maybe 6 years ago mm-hmm. When I was kind of doing everything completely by myself. But I think for me, yeah, totally hit it on the head. Just I missed that just freedom and that creativity, where instead it was like, all right, now you're showing up here. The guy that I was working with, who, you know, he did so many amazing things for me, but he was very systematic. So even down to marketing, which you're familiar with, it's not a science, right?
No,
but he had like a very regimented science process that was, you know, tried and true as far as how we would market our in-person services. And it just didn't feel good to me, but
it's like, I feel like there's literally only 1% of the population that can thrive and grow off of uncertainty, that choose the path that literally 99% of the people wouldn't choose, whether that's like when you choose to take a career that's an unknown or the known. It's like, I think that if I were to ask you today, right now, like, are you going to go to school to be a chiropractor and fit in this box? Or are you going to go and be an entrepreneur and do this? Like, you would 100%, not saying you wouldn't be a chiropractor, you'd be like, I'm that way. Mm-hmm. And you ask 99% of the world, they're like, no, I choose the certain way. I choose the consistent way. I choose the way that is comfortable, that I know works. It's like, mm-hmm. same in like a relationship. It's like, are you going to choose the risky relationship, the one that's the unknown that you don't know? Or are you going to choose the one that's like, oh, I know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm going to get with that. And it's so interesting that I feel like the people that I attract to be around are the ones that, like, it's a yes and I don't know what that means. Like, mm-hmm. I say that you and Tyler are yes men. Like, yeah. You guys are literally like, yeah, what are we doing?
Let's do it. I'm in.
Like, yeah, let's do it. I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your support system that you have with mm-hmm. being kind of like this yes man, head in the clouds, want to try something else out. And then I want to talk a little bit about, you had two paths of buying into a practice and then choosing to do the center of movement. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to, so whichever one you feel like kind of elaborating on here.
Today. Yeah. My head. I think on the, like for the second one, talking about like the two paths.
Yeah.
Definitely like kind of per our conversation that we just had, like the buying into the place that I was at was the safe, like regimented
tell us
path.
can you share a little bit of that story, Matt?
Yeah.
That you've talked to me about, like the money that you had to save, the work that you had to grind out and do to buy into something, and then you just
So I was at this clinic for a couple years, and I knew as soon as I got there that it just was not a good fit for me, but the people were amazing. Like all the people that I worked with there, we still keep in touch with, like we just had so much fun together. And that's what because I lead with that a lot of times, and sometimes to a fault, like I was like, hey, I'm in, like this is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Even though I know that it's not quite the right fit, it's going to be fun.
What
didn't
feel like the right fit for you?
Their system was just very different than like my personal philosophy with like how I wanted to treat patients. So they were more of like a quicker appointment and a higher volume clinic, and so like the goal was seeing a lot more people, whereas I've always just wanted to spend a little bit more time with people and kind of have more of like a rehab intimate setting with my patients, where this was more, it was open bay, so there was, you know, a lot going on at once and there was a lot of different things happening. So I kind of compromised being like, I don't know if this is a good fit or not, but it seems like such a fun atmosphere, so let's do it. So anyway, I got into that situation, and within maybe 3 weeks, so I don't know if this was a green light or a red flag, but I was offered an opportunity to like work there and then also buy into the business mm-hmm. within 3 weeks of my internship, which thinking back, like that was pretty quick.
Can you imagine offering that?
I must be so good.
To Natalie. Yeah. Just like, oh, by the way, you can buy into this.
Yeah. So at the time, though, I was just like, man, I must be awesome. This is great.
Just gas me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in.
Of course. Yeah.
But no, I think they were looking for, you know, transition in their own careers also. And they saw potential in this opportunity. So we had a contract set up where, yeah, I was grinding to build my practice, and then a big portion of that was going towards a buy-in trigger that would happen within 24 months, a little bit less than that. So anyways, it was, yeah, without getting into too much detail about that, like I worked very hard. Like I was working at least 30 hours outside of my office hours a week, like at county and state fair, county and like local fairs, setting up a chair and talking to different people. I was even at Toyota while people were getting their oil change, like doing chair massages at Culver's, like stuff that, it's just kind of wild to think about. But
honestly, I feel like those types of things catapult you into doing things scared and building relationships and connections quickly.
Oh, man. I
like it's almost invaluable. I had an experience like that same thing when I was at Aveda. We had to have 10 blow dry models in a matter of 3 hours. And it was in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. So I fucking went out on the streets of Minneapolis and I was like, yo, let me blow dry your hair.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a great blowout on your lunch break. Just get in here. I didn't want to say blow. Job on your lunch break, but let me give you a great blowout on your lunch break. And they couldn't say no, but it taught me to just like ask for what you need. Like, so anyways, I feel like that's invaluable.
And I think like in the school system, like obviously they need to teach you the science and like the craft, right? They don't, there's not enough time to teach everything. So they focus on the things you need and you don't learn that in school.
Yeah.
And so I honestly think like that was just an accelerated way to like dial in communication and like learn how to connect with people and communicate what it is that you're doing in a super efficient way.
Yeah,
so
totally.
If you asked me during that time, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm just so tired. Like, this sucks.
I'm sure, but, like, Britt was like,
it was long and we, you know, we had Nara during that time. So like, it was a crazy time. Like, it was just crazy. We had like lots going on. But looking back now, it was definitely the most valuable learning experience for me for many reasons. One of the main reasons, like we talked about, just the communication piece and like being able to connect with people where they're at and help to kind of create this digestible conversation for them so they can understand how you can help them.
Mm-hmm.
But then also just being able to figure out what I did and didn't want for my own practice when I was ready to do that, because I always knew that I wanted to do that. It was just a matter of figuring out, like, you think you know, and then, you know, I'm sure even in, I hope in 3 years I'll be like, man, like, what was I thinking earlier? Like, this is like way better way to do this. Like, you're just always evolving with it a little bit. So
I love that. And I think that a lot of people think also have a one-track mind, like, oh, well, this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want to talk a little bit about how when I first met you, well, I think I talked with Josh about it, and I was like, dude, when I type in chiropractors in Golden Valley, it's like, you guys don't show up. And Josh was like, well,
talk to Matt
about that. And it was just like this, you know, how you are, like, you wanted it to be known that you wanted to be so separated from the, like, we don't do 3-minute appointments. You are not a robot. I'm not a robot. Like, we care about you. It's relationship led. We care about people. It's like the whole like encompassing of rehab. But at the same time, it was like you almost did a 180 from that. Like, you were like, not that, I'm this.
Yeah.
Like, talk to me about the evolution of now the center of movement. Like, you do chiropractic care, but what's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, so the evolution was definitely like coming out of that burnout situation and just figuring out, basically, first of all, figuring out just how I'm going to put food on the table and like survive.
Yeah.
So it was,
wait, just to backtrack really quick. You did not choose. So it was a couple weeks before and you chose to not buy into the company.
Yes.
And then you did what?
And then I basically put in my notice, but I kind of, it was like the longest notice ever. I was like, hey, cause it was just a lot of change happening. So I just kind of told them, just so you know, I'm planning on leaving sometime in the next 6 to 8 months. I'm here to like support up until, I'll let you know when it gets closer to like what that date is. But like, I don't want to just like bail.
Yeah.
But I wanted to tell him like my heart wasn't here for the long term as soon as I knew. So I think that was like in July. And then sometime in the fall, I had kind of set my date as February of being done. Okay. So then I kind of let them know that that would be when I was done. And so I kind of, because I wasn't building anything there long term anymore, I kind of pulled back a little bit on some of the outside of clinic like marketing events and stuff. I was still, I mean, I think at one point I was seeing like 400 patients a week, which is so many.
How many, let's give some comparables. How many do you see now a week?
I would say like anywhere between 50 and 65.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like 8 times the amount of people you were seeing in a week there.
Just so many people. And so then,
were you making way more money?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was bringing in about it was pretty close to the same, maybe a little bit more money, but then obviously like very different business structure, like the overhead, all the different things. We didn't have, or we had a lot more bells and whistles at that other place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was,
Let's talk about that. Do you think they're unnecessary?
Yeah, I personally don't think it's necessary. If somebody's
seeing
I'm not a bells and whistles kind of guy. Yeah, yeah. But I just think if somebody's seeing you in a service industry, you have to have like a clean experience, totally, I think. Yeah. But like if they're seeing you because you have an expensive coffee table, then they're probably seeing you for the wrong reasons.
Totally.
So I just think that it's about relationships and building trust with somebody. And the people that I invest my time and energy in for services are the people that I just fully trust and you feel that energy with. You feel like a good connection with. So,
do you guys like hear all Matt's talking? Like, you feel the energy with them. And it's just like about relationships. Like, literally, yeah, that is marketing at its core. Is like, do you vibe with them? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Do they connect with your stories? Okay, great. That means they want to work with you. Like, literally, you are in the relationship business. Your front is your chiropractic clinic. Mm-hmm. Like, that's literally what it is for you. You are a prime example of that. You could tell everybody that you're opening a donut shop and they wouldn't even ask you what kind of donuts you have. They'd be like, we need to go to Matt's donut shop because Matt owns it.
They would be really good donuts.
They would be good. Okay, I'm sure they would be good. Matt brought donuts today, so that was good. But I'm just saying that you are literally in the relationship business. Mm-hmm. And I just want to like reiterate that. It's that I remember, so Matt coaches at Barry's, if anybody else goes there. And like, I have fitness trauma, and maybe someday I'll talk about that on the podcast. But the thing is that one day you said to me after class, and we can cut this out if we can't include it, but you said, I don't even know how much I'm getting paid. I don't even know what I make there. Yeah, literally, that is like a prime example of you just saying yes, mm-hmm, to coaching there, doing the training, having fun, making connections, building relationships, mm-hmm, and you don't even know what you're getting paid. That's like people on TikTok. He still doesn't know. Tell him. I think that it's a prime example of why you are so successful on TikTok too. If anybody doesn't know, Matt's almost at the 500,000 mark. Me and Josh should probably do something really good for you when you get to that part. But he's literally almost at the $500,000 mark, follower mark, not $500,000 yet, mark nice. On TikTok, because you are just in it to serve. Mm-hmm. Same like where you coach at. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you got, I loved your story on TikTok. I think I commented on it, of your story about group training.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a little background on, like, were you always wanted to be a group trainer and group fitness? Like, what else?
Not at all, yeah. So, being a chiropractor, I have a background in, like, the body and movement and stuff. But I didn't ever have an interest in doing group training. But I do love bringing people together, and I love hosting events. And that kind of just has been more and more fueled as I've kind of like embarked in this entrepreneurship journey in the last 6 years. But when I started my business, I had a podcast called Caffeination and Inspiration. If you want to look it up, there's still like 4 episodes available.
I literally didn't know the name of it.
Yeah,
it was called.
It's on Apple Podcasts.
I literally would see that title and I'd be like, oh, Matt must run that.
Yeah. So,
it sounds so much
so
like it.
I just had this. Yeah, I had this idea. Actually, it was an idea that I had when I was at the other clinic, when it was a blog. I wrote a blog and I was like interviewing local entrepreneurs just because I was curious. I just wanted to meet people. But then I turned it into a podcast for my business, and I just wanted to meet people a little more specifically in health and fitness. Mm-hmm. So I had two guests, and they were like initial guests that I had, like the very limited people that I knew in the Twin Cities that were in health and fitness. And then the concept was they referred me the next person that was inspiring to them in health and fitness. So Tom Jacobson was one of my first guests. He owned the two local solid cores in town, and he actually is just recently starting a new fitness adventure. But anyway, he referred me JC Lippold, who is one of my best friends now. I was actually a groomsman at his wedding.
Was he at Barry's?
Yeah.
Wednesday?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I feel like I was next to him.
You were next to him. Yeah.
Okay. God, that guy looks so familiar.
Yeah. So that's how I met JC, who, again, is one of my best friends. And then he referred me Vinny, who is the owner of a local gym called Alter. And that's so that was kind of that conversation. I was just, I mean, that was the first time I had met Vinny, and now we've become really good friends too. He's also my boss at the gym. But he, his passion and fire for what he was doing was so contagious. After the interview, I emailed him and I was like, man, like, I don't know how or if there's an opportunity to get involved, but like, I'd love to work with you. Just like open-ended, like on anything, basically.
Yeah.
Like whatever it is, like I'm in. So, and then he wrote back.
Yes, man. The yes, man. Yes.
Yeah. And then he messaged me. He's just like, hey, have you ever thought about coaching group fitness? And I said, no, but like I could learn.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so then anyway, I interviewed with his business partner. And then, yeah, we did like a 12-week training before the gym opened, which was like super cool. It was in North Loop in just like a very rugged stone open loft area that had not been developed yet.
Cool.
So if that was 2023, that'd be some really good content, but it was 2017.
Yeah.
So we missed out. but yeah, it was great. So that's kind of how it started.
I just want to reiterate the fact that it's so amazing to me what anybody can do for themselves by just asking.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is also, I want to hit on the point where you said you could sense his passion and you wanted to be in because you could sense his passion. And I just, when I was in Miami, the guy who owned the sports marketing agency that I worked for, he has this quote, and I posted it on Instagram last night. I just see it. It was like, be passionate about passionate people.
Yes.
And he says that, and it's just like so true. When you are around somebody who's passionate about literally anything, you just want to be by them. You're like, I don't even like donuts and I fucking want to be by you because you are so passionate about them.
You love them.
Like, you love them. Like, can I work for you? I
or
don't
like
even.
Peter with the cheese. Like, I think about that all the time. Like,
yes.
Just like.
Like,
yeah.
Be passionate about passionate people. Mm-hmm. So good. And I think a lot of times people don't know how to then make that next step that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. That you literally said, how can I work for you?
Mm-hmm.
How can I work with you? How can I do that? And I get so many people that say, how did you go to Miami? How did you like do that? It's like, first of all, I asked the girl, Carly, if you ever need help, let me know. I like telling stories. I may not be the best at interviewing, but I would love to help at any time. It got her thinking. Therefore, then she asked later on when she, you know, needed it. And so how do you, like, what does that take to, like, put yourself out there to ask the question or give yourself an opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't even cross my mind to, like, if they say no, for me, I know that they're not, like, mad at me or that they
don't like
me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's not a good time. And that's fine. At least then it's in the... Here's another fluffy. It's in the universe.
I like that, though.
Right? It's
like
it's out there. Like, hey, I'm putting it out there that this is, you know, I'm interested in this. And you're right. Like, at some point, maybe if it's a better time or maybe they get to know you better and understand, like, oh, you know what? This is actually would be a great fit for us to do something together. They already know that you're interested. To take it another step further, my friend Giselle, who I want to introduce you guys at some point, but she...
Maybe we should get her on podcast.
Yeah, she'd be a great guest. Okay, but she has a talent brokerage, and she was, like, telling me, she's like, you need to get, like, what are they called?
An agent?
Reviews? No.
Reviews? What?
Testimonials.
Oh, testimonials. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Testimonials.
Cool. Case studies.
For different things that you've done. And she's like, you were just in Atlanta speaking to the Delta team in the fall. Like, you should get a testimonial. And so I just was like, well, so I just like, hey, say, hey, can you get a testimonial? And her advice was like, well, sometimes you need to like draw the picture for them. So what I would do is like just write up a testimonial and say, hey, I put this together. Just let me know if you have anything you'd want to change or if you could approve it. If you think that this is something that you want to like support me on.
So similar
for asking the question, like sometimes you need to draw the picture for the person like, hey, I'm really interested in working with you. That's step one. Step two might be I have a lot of passion for people. So if there's a role that I could support you with that way, or, you know, if you're looking for somebody to like lead something in rehab or movement, like that's my lane. I could help you out there, and just giving them options so that they could be like, you know what? That is something that we could use, and that's something that I see value in.
That is so fucking good. I feel like that is something that you almost, you don't want them to think about how you can work for them. Yeah. You are painting the picture on how you can fit in there.
Well, I think about so like, good. For me, like people are busy and they got a lot going on up here. Mm-hmm. So like if you can just take a couple steps out for them, I think that most people, they want help and they want to work with each other and have like mm-hmm. that kind of support and collaboration. But sometimes it's just too overwhelming to think about like how or what, you know?
Oh, that is so, like so fucking good. I think about too, and I've told this to other people before too, like, you know, when you're in the shit and you're just so stressed out and you're so overwhelmed mm-hmm. and you don't know how to ask for help.
Yeah.
You like, how could, and somebody's like, my mom will be like, well, what do you need? It's like, I don't fucking know what I need.
I need you to tell me.
But if somebody says, can I, if my mom was like, I'm bringing over dinner tonight, mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, I'm at the drive-thru getting coffee. What's your order?
Yeah.
Instead of like, tell me how to best support you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I don't even fucking know what I need.
I don't know.
I can't dictate what I need from you.
Yeah.
And so I think like that literally hit the nail on the head. And especially too with like testimonials, mm-hmm. I have like a template. Maybe I should just link it in this episode. It's like a template on working with Matt was so helpful because mm-hmm. or like, I loved when Matt said this. It got me thinking about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like more of like a templated out fill in the yeah. blank. So they can, you can just have this like flow that they just literally fill in the words and they yep. literally said it. So it's very similar to what Giselle had for you.
9.5 times out of 10, they want to write the testimonial.
They
right?
do.
They want to support you on it.
Either they want to and they don't get to it mm-hmm. or they choose to and it's fucking.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
you're like, that's great. But like,
can I take one sentence?
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, man, that's like so, so good. Okay. I want to ask you just like one or two more questions here. And okay. I think the main question I want to ask you is, you're so good at bringing people together. I mean, like, that's obviously the premise of this episode is like, Matt's in the relationship business. Who the fuck knows what his job is at this point? But he's the mayor of Minneapolis and he just needs to just. I don't even. It's actually. I don't even know who the mayor was, and I live there. I live here. It's actually Matt. And I think that there is something that, like, for instance, you invited me and Tyler to a concert with you. Josh and his wife went. Like, you invited mm-hmm. all these other people. You're introduced to all these other people, and I think that. I want to ask you, number one, where does that come from? Like, have you always been that way?
Oh, totally. Like,
yes.
Do you remember, like,
okay.
T9 texting?
Yeah.
Like, I remember thumb cramping. Because after the games in juniors, I'd be, like, texting 500 people being like, hey, we're all meeting at, I don't know, Applebee's. I don't know where we went. But I wanted everybody to be there.
Literally, Tyler was so sick. He was, like, so fucking sick. And I was like, Matt, we can't go. We can't go. It was, like, 10 a.m. I'm like, Matt, we can't go. Then we get a text from Matt at 4 o'clock, and he said, just so you guys know, this is where we're meeting. I know you're not feeling good, Tyler, but just so you know, this is where we're meeting. And I was like, and then Tyler's like, I haven't thrown up yet today.
Yeah, I know,
like,
Tyler well enough.
I was like, oh my God, here we fucking go, okay? And then we like started thinking about it, and then we got a babysitter. So you're just like the community guy, but there's one thing that you don't like when people ask you. What is it after you invite them? What did they say?
Oh, I don't know. What did I say?
Who else is going to be there?
Yes, I don't love that. Who else is going to be there?
Why don't you like it?
I just feel like it doesn't matter. Like, we're all coming together. We're mm-hmm. just trying to do, you know, have some fun together. I feel like if you're worried about who's all going to be there, it just seems like the focus is on the wrong thing. Again, for me, I know everyone sees things differently, mm-hmm. but that's. I just feel like there's so much that we can learn and feed off of each other. And I obviously I'm an extrovert, so I like being around people a lot.
Yeah.
But I just think that, there's so many opportunities that everyone has something that they can bring to the table. And there might be somebody else in this giant circle that could really value from that. And I love bridging that gap. Like, I mm-hmm. want those people to meet, you know? And I feel like if you're asking me who's all going to be there, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like then you're maybe not as excited to come as I thought you were. But
so it doesn't stem from, because me knowing that, I thought that maybe it stems from you thinking like, what if it's just me? Am I not enough?
Yeah, that's That too, I do get that. I do feel like that with some things. Like mm-hmm. if it's like a small group, or if I'm just like say I'm like going to work out on a Wednesday morning. Like, hey, yeah. you should come meet me. I'm going to wherever to work out. And yeah, that follow up question. I don't love it then, because then it's just like, well, what if it's just us? Like, we're just going to hang out. I thought that was going to be good enough. But yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I'm not going to make it. You're like, wasn't good enough.
Wasn't good enough.
It was just me. Guess I'm not good enough.
That's fine. Good
enough for Whatever. You. Okay, Matt, this was so good. I'm obviously going to have you on again because I feel like we can talk about a lot of fun.
We could keep it rolling.
Yeah, we could keep it rolling. But tell us a little bit about what you have going on the rest of 2023. And then where people can follow that journey. So tell us what you want to work on, what you got going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so I guess business-wise, as you mentioned, we're doing a lot more through like online channels now. So are the pillars of our company, empowerment, education, and community. So trying to build that online. So creating programs for people, and then also doing some custom coaching for people who are in pain or looking to rehab an injury. For me personally, one of my goals for 2023 is to do some more public speaking. So talking about putting it in the universe, if anyone listening to that wants to bring me on as a guest or a keynote, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
You're already in. It's a yes.
But yeah, you can. I guess you can follow along matt.thecenterofmvmt on TikTok or dr.matt_TCOM on Instagram.
And TCOM stands for the Center of Movement. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. And I think that it is to note that, you know, marketing is all about building relationships, and it's also about adjusting to change. Mm-hmm. And you are just a true testament to understanding that during COVID. You were just like, fuck it. We're going to do shit online, and we're going to fail, and we're going to keep trying, and we're going to be on TikTok, and we're going to do this. And now you are catapulting that pillar of community and fostering it online while also inviting your current members who see you in person. Do you guys call them? Okay, I was talking to Josh about this. Do you guys call them guests, members, clients? Like, what do you call them?
I call them patients.
Patients?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if Josh calls them that. Do you call them that, Josh? Yeah.
Patience.
I could see it gets blurry, like now, especially online. Like I'm starting to do more clients too.
Or athletes. I don't know. Like CrossFit, they call them athletes.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say clients or patients is definitely the two that I would use the most.
Okay. Okay, cool. When I worked for Aveda, they made us call everybody guests.
Oh yeah.
Like they're like a guest and you treat them like you eat the hot towel and the tea. Like they're a guest in your space. And so
that feels nice.
Yeah. I think that sounds nice. Okay, cool. So fostering online community through fitness, health, wellness. You have a membership. You will go live in there. People in person and online can do that, or they can work with you in one-to-one capacity. If you're in Minneapolis or St. Paul area, ever traveling, like just hit Matt up. He's definitely going to invite you to a class, coffee afterwards.
Come work out with us.
Yeah, so fun. Okay, this was so good, Matt. Yay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.